Be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and also able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So this is about the tongue. I think we've heard about the tongue. The tongue is a creative force. In the beginning, the Lord spoke forth and there was light. He spoke things into being. Actually, as members of the body of Christ, we have to learn to speak creatively, because as we go through this little study this morning, we shall see the way that the words are devised. Actually, in the heart of man, when we come into the things of God, our mind and our heart are not automatically changed. We confess that Jesus is Lord, and we're born again and renewed in the Spirit. But that doesn't automatically bring change to the heart or the spirit of man. And that's why we all want to read this scripture. Can we all read it together? The memory verse, James 3, verses 7 and 8. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. The tongue, the introduction here is, the tongue is one of the most powerful organs in the body. Though it is very small in size, it is so powerful that death and life are reign in its power. Any believer who wants to succeed in his or her ministry must learn how to control the tongue. So we want to look at the attributes of an unbridled tongue. I felt that the unbridling tongue is under the control of the devil. And I felt this was a lot of negative areas, but we do need to go through them. If we look at Psalm 52:2, you may not be able to keep up with me because of the shortness of time this morning. I'm going to read them through. I've written the scriptures out. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Psalm 52:2, and one of the attributes of the unbridled tongue. In Job 15:5, it says, for thy mouth uttereth thine iniquity, and thou choosest the tongue of the crafty. How does the enemy and the spirits of darkness enter into man? We hear words. I have a friend at the moment that is in India. He's a young man about Justin's age, and he's called to the ministry of God, but he's under torment. And he says that the enemy, he's hearing words of the enemy in his ear, and he's taking to sleeping in the church two nights a week in India. This is what happens if you go and sleep in the church, Pastor. You do in Nigeria, you sleep in the church. If you've got a problem, you stay in the church, in the house of God. So therefore, you can forfeit the words that the enemy is speaking. And two pastors are praying for him full time during that night time. The enemy uses words. Wicked men. We go to Proverbs 17:4. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Lying is one of the great sins along with deceit, mockery, and gloating. We could come, so many people have been deceived by a lying tongue. In the world, we know that there are those that profit by lying. There's scams on the internet today. Just please, you've won $1 million, please would you give me the details of your bank account? A lying spirit operates in the world. But guess what? One day that person may come to the church. They're not automatically changed. We need to be renewed in our mind by the word of God. So in Job 20:16, it says, the next scripture, he shall suck the poison of asps, and the viper's tongue shall slay him. I knew what an asp was, but an asp is a small snake, a viper. And an ill-gotten word has poison in it. Poison that's deposited. Where I live in the rural area, there's a lot of snakes at the moment. Many snakes out in the roads in the middle of the day, and we see many of them, big tiger snakes, and they're around. In my place, if a snake bites you, and you're half an hour away from the house, you may have half an hour to get back. 1 hour is absolute maximum. At this time of the year, the snake has much poison because it's hungry, it's been hibernating, so the poison has built up from the winter. Okay, so if a snake bites you, we have to look at this when the enemy or those around us, even our families will say, what are you going to that church for? You know, that church is not for you. You shouldn't be doing this. How come you're going to prayer? How come, how come, how come? Those words have poison. After many, many times, you know, it's like something biting us. We retain a portion. We retain a portion. I saw a television program the other day, yesterday actually, on God Channel, and it was about a man who'd been tortured by the Chinese during the war. He was an American soldier, and he said that they used different methods of torture. And one was they wanted him to make a statement. So they played the statement that he was to make, which was denouncing the Americans, over and over in his head for 3 days, and they tied him into a chair. Do you know, he said, after 3 days with no sleep, he was repeating words of that testimony. He would not have believed it. And you know how he got out of it? In his mind, he said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He said they didn't know. Otherwise, if I didn't fill my mind with the words of God, he said, I was taking up the other portion. Then they tried water treatment, laying him out, staking him out, and putting just one drop on his forehead. The same thing. Within 5 minutes, it was like a rock on his forehead. He was amazed. This man said he never would have believed. The words of the world, the words of the wicked, those words will deposit in us. If you say to your child, you stupid boy, why did you do that? The child grows up thinking they are stupid. One day, those words will become evident. We need to speak life with our mouth. Life. Psalm 109 verse 2 says, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. The enemy that is against us today, the father of all lies, is Satan himself. We don't need to give him extra room, but he uses people. The same as God has to use people that have feet and arms and legs and a mouth. We speak creatively. You're called into the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ to spread love and to spread the word of God, which is foreign to, it didn't come naturally to us, the word of God. We have to renew our mind. What we put in our mind will eventually deposit in our heart. Amen. It has to go from what was put in our heart before. Some of us were not in church in the beginning. Some of us did not, like the children today, have Christian backgrounds. We have to be renewed by the word. And the word is truth. It says in Psalm 120, verse 2, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. You know, the best way to see where we are is if we're doing something and we hit ourselves with a hammer, what comes out? What do we say? In the Australian idiom, we may produce a swear word. Something happens quickly to us. That's the best way. And, you know, it surprises us because in the suppository of the heart, so the mouth speaks. And, you know, we have a creative force. It says that here that unbridled tongue devises destruction and loves devouring words. What happens if you sat on an unbridled horse? What would happen? You would fall off real quick. You would be smashed to pieces. If the horse, you did not have control of that horse. Let me tell you, even some horses, around my area, there's many horses. And when you drive past the horse, you should really very much slow down because the horse can suddenly get spooked. And then he will take off with that rider. And usually they're young girls. And that girl has not learnt to have full control of the horse. And she will take off at such a speed that she is in great danger. The horse can be spooked. Anything unbridled, anything, the little child. My children went to a Christian kindergarten, and one time I went to pick them up and one of the teachers said to me, Barbara, your child was using bad words today. We washed the mouth out with soap. I was frightened. She said the words they were speaking, she was speaking, she didn't get in your house. The little boy at the back had been jumping the fence and teaching our girls these words. And so they thought, well, if they're hearing, they produce. Do you know, I've seen two-year-olds swear. Two-year-olds, you go to the supermarket, you go to the store, and you hear the mother say to the child, "That use bad language, very bad language." They'll tell the child off. And one little boy in the supermarket aisle a couple of weeks ago, he was attacking me. He stood in the aisle and he went, "I'm going to get you." He went. And I'm thinking, is this real? This is in the Target store or somewhere. But his parents had just been berating him. So when that young boy comes into the church, because of your ministry of evangelism, what's going to happen? You have to be rid him of these things that's deposited in his heart by his family members. We see it all the time through the world. We see that what's been deposited has to come out. So flattery, backbiting, wickedness, deceit and other features are features of an unbridled tongue. Unbridled tongue also talks too much. An unbridled tongue is under the control of the devil. It's like a fire that destroys. It makes man unclean. It is a trap, a deep pit and a restless evil. An unbridled tongue. It's like a fire. I wrote down here somewhere. It's like a fire. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It says that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature as it is set on fire of hell. So the whole course of life is set on fire of hell. This refers to the anger and violent passions of wrath that are related to the vile language of the tongue. It also pictures the confusion and misery caused by the tongue, like the misery of hell. When we light a fire, we see those firebugs, especially the summer coming up, and they just put one little flame and the whole bush will come up. This is what happens. Somebody might say, I might say to somebody, somebody might come to me and say, do you know Pastor Esther? Did you know that she does this? She shops at the wrong store. Do you know she said something? Do you know? Somebody will say, guess what? It'll be like a fire. Somebody will ring somebody. Somebody will ring somebody. It becomes gossip. There's no foundation. We didn't know, but it sounded good. It sounded good. That's the deceit of the enemy. His job is flattery. Cult leaders use flattery. Cult leaders are charismatic. They mix the truth with lies. Man naturally likes to be flattered. Eugene, your skirt is so pretty today. Your hair is so lovely, Eugene. Do you know, Eugene, Jesus didn't really die. See what I've said? I've flattered her, so her ears are really pricked up, you know. It's really, she's really, then I can deposit a lie. Lies are in the church. Not every church today is preaching the word of God today. Creatively, we create with our words. But as I was doing a little bit of study here, I discovered that what happens is when we receive the word of God, it goes from our mind. See, things have to go from our mind into our spirit, which is our heart. We have to be doers of the word. We have to make sure that we have a deposit of the word. The word deposited in our heart will fight against the normal desires of man. The normal desires of man. It has to ignite with the spirit. The spirit of man has to be caught alight by the fire. The fire is like a word that will go out. The fire of God, the word of God, never changes. It's what we do with it. If we come here to the church today and we hear the preaching and we go home and we say, oh, well, that was nice. I don't know what it was about, but it sounded good. We should go home and check what we hear. Then we can start to speak it forth. Always check what we hear against the word of God. There are 12 things about the tongue. It tells us in James, it's a little member. It boasts about great things. It's a fire. It's a world of iniquity. It defiles the whole body. Your tongue defiles your whole body. Not what a man puts into his body defiles him, but what comes out through his tongue. It is untamable, which we've just spoken about. It's an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. It's used to bless and curse men. We use it. It's the one part of our body which is blessing or cursing. Blessing or cursing. It's capable of good conversation, but it's also capable of bitter strife. The very nature of God should dominate our spirit when we're born again. The very nature of God. It's not automatic. Your spirit man must come in subjection to the spirit. Your spirit man must come into conjunction. Otherwise, we become unbridled. We're like a wild horse charging through. We don't know how to behave. Naturally, a child learns As I told you, my children learnt from the other side. Then we have to sit the children down and say, that is not the right way to speak. That is not a good word. The child doesn't know. When we come into the house of God, we have to be teachable. We're like a small child. Because otherwise, we're unruly. Eugene, you take the children, you apply them to things, don't you? You teach them. This is the way to behave. It's not automatic that our spirit man comes into subjection to the spirit. It's not automatic. Our bodies have to be disciplined to the word of God. And our bodies don't always want to do that. Either your spirit or your body is going to dominate you. Either your spirit or your body. If we're going to become unruly, as we see, the prisons are full of unruly people. Some never learn, do they? Their home becomes a prison. They keep going back. Others learn. I was ministering to a girl at one time and she told me she was in the prison for 2 days. A chaplain came into the prison. She got born again and she said, I don't ever want to go back. She learnt. So either our spirit or our body will dominate. We have to be able to overcome. Fasting overcomes the body. Fasting says you don't have to eat now. But the body says, yes, I want to eat now. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty like a small baby. So there is ways that we can discipline the body. Born again is meant to be, your spirit is meant to dominate. So when we're born again, that's meant our spirit is meant to dominate. Sometimes it doesn't because we fail to act on what we know. We fail to act on what we know. We must use our tongue. I'll just give you an example about the creative force. In our family line, we might say, I was speaking to a girl the other day, I haven't seen her for many years, and the Lord told me to chase her up. And I rang her, and she said to me, Barbara, do you know my father died of cancer? My sister died of cancer. My mother died of cancer. My auntie died of cancer. And she had cancer 10 years ago, and I prayed for her. She had breast cancer, and praise God, she's a survivor. Now she told me my husband had cancer this year. Guess what? God told me to go and visit her. What for? To speak life. You see, you can have a family that they all live to be 100 years old. But if you say, I'm not going to be like my granddad, you know, I'm not going to be, you know, something terrible, the world is all going to end, you know. In the end, that deposits in us. You have the power in your tongue to create life and to what nature has given you, it can become a creative force. But if you like to pick up on the negative things, when we come into God, we are a new creature. It doesn't matter if our family had this or this or this or this. I had my mother is old at this time, and she used to say to me, Barbara, you're just like me. Do you know Barbara? One of her eyes pulled back into her head, and she used to say to me, you watch, you'll be the same. Everything that happens to me is going to happen to you. You be careful. And I said to my mother, I was not brought up with my mother. I only met her in later years. But I said, I renounced. And when I said, I will not. And when I left my mother's, I would say, right now in the name of Jesus, I claim life and I will have both my eyes until I come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I come against those words. Those words have power. You see, we must discount what the world tells us. And often it's our family. And so often we'll say, do you know your father was going bald? Do you know you'll do the same thing, Pastor? No, you won't. I will have life. And Eve, I will have life. And my hair, there is life. We need to creatively speak. There's a natural force that is picked up. The angels are waiting to deliver the word that you speak. The angels quicken. They can't quicken when I say, well, we hope that person gets run over next week. The angels aren't waiting to do that. The angels are here today. The angels are around you. They're waiting till you speak the word of God, and then they can act upon that word that's creative from our mouths. The angels are waiting. They cannot do our bidding, but they can and are able to act on the word of God that comes from our lips. So the tongue no man can tame, but the Holy Spirit can. So who can tame the tongue? No man. That's what we saw in the scripture this morning. You can have what you say, so don't say the wrong things. I've put down this morning, don't say the wrong things. Out of the abundance of the heart. The heart is a receptacle for all things happen. We confess Jesus is Lord from our heart. It says if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. From our heart. Our heart, no one can see. Only God can see the heart. But out of our heart, the abundance comes. So if we listen to someone long enough, we'll see if they have a critical spirit. They have a lying tongue. If they're not good for us, we shouldn't be around. Or we need to do what I did, which was cancel the assignment of that word. The tongue is creative. The tongue speaks out of our heart issues. The tongue doesn't speak out of the bank account. When you go to the bank, they'll say, put your PIN in here. I want to withdraw some money. Well, if you don't have put it in, you can't get it out. Well, the heart doesn't speak from anything but from the abundance that's in it. We say, we know that healing occurs through the word. Deliverance occurs through the word. And I know many people that play the word of God day in and day out. It starts to inhabit you. The word can come about when it inhabits us. Resist the devil and he will flee. It says, resist the devil and he will flee in James 4:7. An unbridled tongue, results of an unbridled tongue, it'll bring destruction. Even the person who acquires wealth, he or she will still waste it. God will not hear the prayer of someone whose tongue is not bridled. A person whose tongue is not bridled falls into evil. It doesn't matter. Many, many years may pass, but a lying spirit will become evident in the person. I had a leader at one time, many years ago, and he requested I sit in the front row. I didn't want to sit in the front row of the church many years ago. Some of the people thought, if you sit in the front row, you must be better than everybody else. I didn't want to sit in the front row. It was so silly. And the pastor said to me, Barbara, sit in the front row. And this man had some problems with the word. And he said to me, Barbara, I want you to sit in the front row, because when you sit in the front row, sometimes I go to say something wrong and your spirit pulls my spirit into line. In other words, that man had big problems. When he got in the pulpit, he used to say things that he didn't know he was saying because they came out of his unhealthy heart. But he was using my spirit to bring his spirit into line, which was the wrong way to do it. That's not the way we do things. I never knew why he wanted me to sit in the front. Many years later, or actually not so many years later, we saw the evidence of that man. He loved God, but he was an unbridled man. He could not control his tongue. One time in the church, he said there was a baby crying, and he said, if the mother of that child doesn't come and take the child, I'm going to smash its head against the wall. The pastor said this in the pulpit. This is true. He didn't know what he said. Half the church left and he had to get up and apologize. But you see, that was in his heart. He was frustrated. So out of the frustration in his heart, and he was a man of God, was very sad. No wonder he wanted me to sit in the front row, because he said, your spirit keeps me in line. But when the Holy Spirit takes us over, we don't have distraction. When we are under the Spirit of God, and we truly are under the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is operating in us, we will hear ourselves speak from the Spirit. So don't be an unbridled person, is what the Word of God is telling us today. It says, a man with an unbridled tongue is living a loose and uncontrolled life. Not every church pastor is like that. I'm just using that as my experience. That isn't the right thing to do, and especially if we're not in church, if we're a church leader, we shouldn't talk about smashing anyone's head against the wall. And I know it wouldn't happen here, but you see, those things do happen. He didn't like it, but it had come out before he could control it. He had an unbridled tongue, and he was living a loose and uncontrolled life. The beginning of perfect living is right control of our tongue. Pray that the Holy Spirit will take over your tongue. Then we've got a couple of questions in there which we can answer from our sheets. Please take note of our tongue. The way we learn is to listen. Too much talking is not good. The way we learn is to listen. So I'm going to pray this morning that those of us under the hearing of this word today would not have an unbridled tongue. So we just close our eyes and I'll just pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for James verse 3, 1 to 12. We thank you, Father, that we are not like the animals can be tamed. But Father, I thank you that you give us a tongue that can be tamed. Thank you for the creative force of life that's in our tongues. And Lord, I ask that as we sit in the house of God, that we would learn, Father, to bring the tongue, the unruly member of our body, into the control of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, for your church, and I thank you for your word. And I ask, Lord, that we would be doers of the word here this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen.